A new study has found selective nudges can help reduce the number of scripts for antibiotics being written by New Zealand GPs. Antibiotic resistance is a major threat to human health and on the rise around the world. Without action, the WHO says a post-antibiotic era could see common infections and minor injuries able to kill once again. So New Zealand's Health Quality and Safety Commission and Pharmac teamed up with behavioural scientists to see whether targeting the top 30% of antibiotic prescribing GPs would encourage change. They sent a letter pointing out where their prescribing rates were relative to their peers. To talk about the results and the value of simple interventions to deal with issues around prescribing, I'm joined by Dr. Alex Giani, Director of Research and Methodology at Behavioural Insights Team, APAC. Welcome to 9 to Noon.
Kia ora, Lynn. It's lovely to be here.
The overprescription of antibiotics is a global issue of concern. Gosh, we've known about this and agonised about this for years. In fact, it's been called the existential threat to humans of this century, along with pandemics. Has there been any discernible change in attitude from those prescribing antibiotics, do you think?
Yeah, I think there have been, actually, and I think that's been a big success, I think, that we've seen over the last decade. I think it is now known that this is an existential threat, I think, as you put it, and as the WHO put it, first of all, in February in 2019, and then also on Christmas Eve 2020. This is pointed out to be an issue that we face, and it will only really get worse unless we do something about it.
What about the situation here in New Zealand? Had we seen that same change in attitude? Had there been any indication of a reduction in antibiotic prescriptions or the reverse?
I think the key point here is that whilst we're seeing a change in attitudes, what really, really matters is the change in behaviour. When we look at antibiotic prescribing, unless we are reducing those prescribing rates, then we're not really going to see a change. And New Zealand, we actually see that the antibiotic prescribing rates were quite high to start off with. In fact, they were the fourth highest in the OECD. So it really shows that this was something that had to be dealt with in Aotearoa.
What are the health threats then of overprescription?
They really vary. I mean, when we're talking about antibiotics, they are really, really important for operations. So if you go in for an operation and you have an infection, then that can lead to serious risks and potentially death. What that also means is that you are likely then to spend more time in hospital, which isn't great for the healthcare system either on an economic basis, and then also for the strain that it puts on an already busy workforce. And it also means that sort of more day-to-day irritations become significantly worse. So if you look at something like a urinary tract infection, we're seeing that some of the first line sort of oral antibiotics are no longer working in the same way, which means that if you have an issue, then not only is it more uncomfortable, then you may need to get an intravenous antibiotic, which then also takes you out of your life, will then have bigger impacts on, you know, you need to go to a healthcare setting rather than being able to kind of deal with this in the community. So it really is a big issue that we need to deal with. And I think one of the good things is that we can see that small interventions like the letters that we sent out and that we worked with very hard with the HQSC and with Pharmac can make a difference. So I think that's an exciting thing, is that we've seen that attitude change and now it's time to change behaviour.
Alex, you were involved in a similar kind of study in the UK a few years back. Did you have similar results?
Absolutely. There's the team. Our team work in different areas. We started in the UK and they were the ones that ran that in the UK. And yes, that was actually one of the originators of the original reasons why we started to look at this in Aotearoa. So there we sent out similar letters that pointed out that people were prescribing more antibiotics than their peers. And we saw that there was a significant and meaningful reduction in the number of scripts being sent out. And that really speaks to the power of social norms, which is the idea that you are telling people what their peers are doing so that they then kind of correct their behavior to match their peers. Because generally, you know, people look to those around them and then kind of see what they're doing. And then we kind of modify our behavior based on that, which is a similar trick that we've used in other areas. So we've used social norms in tax to get people to pay their tax on time. So one of our early trials in the UK, we told people who hadn't paid their income tax yet that 9 out of 10 people pay their tax on time, which is true. And we saw that brought forward a huge number of payments in sort of the hundreds of millions of pounds, and also made real savings of tens of millions of pounds, because in the tax system, if you're paying your tax, then you know the Revenue Service doesn't need to send you a second letter. It then doesn't need to call you up, take you to court, all of which are very painful, expensive, and very unpleasant for all involved. So it was the idea of social norms that we wanted to try out in Aotearoa, New Zealand, because you know, whilst these messages may work in one context, it's really, really important that we don't just take one idea and sort of plug it into another system, is that we try to understand what's going on and then make any modifications. And then finally, also test it to make sure that what we're doing is actually effective.
Well, let's talk numbers for the study here in Aotearoa. And how did you decide who would get the letters, who would be sent the letters?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So we wanted to make sure that we'd send that out to the top 30% of prescribers. So those are people who we know are sending out, sort of giving out more antibiotics than their peers. And then we split them actually into two groups. And this is what we call a randomized control trial. So we did so randomly. And the reason for that was that we wanted to see whether or not they would be effective. So we sent one half of the GPs the letters and then measured their antibiotic prescribing rates later, 4 months later, and then compared their prescribing rates afterwards. And what we saw was that there was a 9% reduction in the number of patients that received antibiotics, and also a 7% drop in the number of scripts, because obviously you can, you know, give multiple scripts to the same patients. So we wanted to really focus on both those things, so fewer scripts, but also to fewer people.
How many fewer scripts then resulted from this?
So all up, if we kind of scale it up across the whole year, we estimate that it would save about 48,000 scripts per annum.
One of the things, though, here in Aotearoa that you must have had to bear in mind is the inequities in the health system. So while we're talking about the overprescribing of antibiotics for Māori and Pacifica, I understand they're often underprescribed the medications they need.
Absolutely. And so that was a really key concern that we had with this project. So we generally see that there is overprescription of antibiotics for most people. But there's a really specific instance that we want to stop, which is for Māori and Pacifica patients, as you mentioned, that they might be underprescribed antibiotics. So what we did was we first of all gave that headline message, which said, Tanakwe, Dr. Lin, this is a call to action. We need your help. You prescribe more antibiotics than 84% of GPs in Canterbury District Health Board. That's where you are. And then gave the headline result. But then on the back page of the letter, we actually then broke down your prescribing by ethnicity. So for Māori patients, for Pacifica patients, and then for non-Māori and non-Pacific patients, with the aim of then showing GPs that if they were over-prescribers overall, then they should reduce their antibiotic prescriptions. But if they were in a small group of people who were over-prescribers overall, but under-prescribers to Māori and Pacific patients, then they would actually think really carefully about who they are giving those scripts to.
When you were working together to come up with the way to phrase this letter, I'm sure an awful lot of thought went into that. I mean, this doesn't sound like you're wanting to shame. It sounds more softly. But was that something that took considerable time to get the tone right?
Absolutely. And I mean, it wasn't just the thought of the team and the commission and Pharmac. We had a working group of very august sort of academics and experts from various different backgrounds to help us with that, the sort of letter design. And we sort of spent ages poring over, every single line and debating it to make sure that it got the right message. The aim was absolutely not to name and shame. It's very much a case of sending it out so that GPs can reflect on their own personal practice and kind of work out what to do with that information. So that's why we had a sort of a firm but friendly term is what we were aiming for, which then highlighted the fact that these GPs were overprescribers, and then also what actions they could take in order to then do something about that fact, which was really critical to that message. And when we sent that out, we also had an email address at the bottom to allow GPs to contact us and ask if they had any questions. the morning that we sent the letters out, we were sort of waiting to see if we'd get any complaints with slight trepidation, but we were really pleasantly surprised that actually most of the GPs that came to contact us were really asking for more information about how they could reduce their own prescribing rates and actually try to understand the data in more detail, which is great. And I think just reinforces the fact that, you know, these are people who are, they've got difficult jobs. We're asking them to do more and more and more. They really care about their patients. They're, you know, foundations of the community. And this is just a nice way of helping them, I guess, improve their practice.
This is new research here, of course, Alex, but going back to the UK study, do you find that these nudges stick? I mean, it's human nature. You know, we're reminded of something, we do our best, life gets in the way, and we fall back into old habits. Are you confident that the prescription rates could continue to fall?
So I'm very confident to say that actually when we see that fall, it doesn't bounce back up again, which is so in the UK and then also in Australia. There have been follow-up studies for similar interventions. And what we see is that actually when those rates do fall, they stay down. I mean, we can keep kind of sending letters to see if we can get that further. But I think what that shows is the fact that, you know, when someone receives this letter, it's not that they go, you know, great, I'll do something about it and then forget about it. But there is this sort of reflective process thinking about, you know, actually, are there specific antibiotics that I am overprescribing? Are there specific patients that I am overprescribing to? Are there certain tricks that I can learn from my peers? So one of the sort of actions that we suggested to other GPs was that they could speak to other GPs in their practice or, you know, other colleagues to understand how they prescribe. And that allows us to disseminate best practice through the system effectively.
Thank you so much for your time this morning. That's Dr. Alex Gianni.